Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we begin, I want to read Genesis 15, verses 1 through 5, then give a brief review before we proceed further along in the text. If you have been with us, then you know our focus is the relationship between God and Abram. This 15th chapter holds many key developments in Abram's walk with the Lord. And there is much here that applies to us in whatever circumstances we now find ourselves. I am confident of this. God speaks through the Bible. Read the Bible and hear from the living God. This is Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir. But one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And God took Abram outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And the Lord said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Concerning verse 1, we said that Jesus Christ, in a pre-incarnate appearance, meets with Abram in a vision. And the great I Am assures Abram that he is Abram's shield and very great reward. Therefore, Abram has no reason to fear. God is with him. In verses 2 and 3, Abram answers the Lord with a complaint. We saw how this is a faith-filled complaint. Nevertheless, Abram is confronting the Lord with the question concerning who will be his heir, since he is childless. And Abram wonders if one born in his house, his servant, Eliezer, might be his heir by adoption? And yesterday we looked at ancient laws that governed the people, the time and the place in which Abram lived, Hurrian law found in tablets at Nuzi, and Babylonian law found in the Code of Hammurabi, all of which confirm that it was legal and a common practice for childless couples, like Abram and Sarai, to adopt their servants as heirs. Those laws permitted a childless man to adopt one of his own male servants to be heir and guardian of his estate. We saw how Abram's question then, his proposal to the Lord, is rooted and grounded in a certain historical and cultural context. Abram is curious. Will his male heir be a natural-born son or an adopted son? The common custom, the common practice, was for Abram to take Eliezer and adopt him as heir. But is that what the Lord has in mind? By faith, Abram clings to God's covenant promises from chapters 12 and 13 that he will have an heir, and then a bevy of descendants. But perhaps Eliezer should be made that heir? Who was Eliezer? I say what the Bible says. He was from Damascus. Second, he was born in Abram's house. From Damascus tells us that Eliezer was not even one of Abram's own people, but rather was born in his house to servants that had come to Abram from that ancient city in the north, still an important city today, Damascus. I hope that you will recall we have already well established that Abram is a very wealthy man with many servants. The Bible has made that clear in previous chapters. So this man Eliezer has risen within the ranks of Abram's servants and is now the chief servant. In reality, he is like the prime minister. He is a servant of the highest position. I believe, for example, this same Eliezer appears over in Genesis chapter 24 when Abraham sends him to secure a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. Let me read just a few verses from Genesis 24, beginning in verse 1. Now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, "You will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac." Make note of verse 2 in Genesis 24. Abraham, referring to Eliezer as the oldest of his household and the one who has charge over all Abraham owned. Eliezer is no slouch. By the way, his name means God, his help. He is a man of stature and high position in Abraham's family and business. If we imagine Abram as a king, then Eliezer is King Abram's prime minister. I'm thinking of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. The king's favor is toward a servant who acts wisely, but his anger is toward him who acts shamefully. Proverbs 14, verse 25. Eliezer definitely had Abram's favor, but was this enough to make Eliezer heir? The great thing about the Bible is we do not have to guess. The answer comes clearly and directly, first to Abram, and by our reading to us. Let me reread the Lord's answer in verse 4. This is Genesis chapter 15, verse 4. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." Here the dialogue continues, and the Bible says, "Behold," which means God is about to speak. Sit up, pay attention, take note. Eliezer will not be Abram's heir. Then, to be very specific, one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. From your body, euphemistically meaning the generative organs. According to the Lord, Abram and Sarai will produce a son, and we know that is exactly what will happen, as we have already referred to Isaac. I like how definitive God is in verse 4. He answers Abram's question directly. And then as we enter verse 5, the Lord does something he has done before. He gives Abram proof of his promise. Remember that in verse 1, the Lord said, "Do not fear." And that was immediately followed by two specific reasons not to be afraid. One, I am a shield to you. Two, I am your reward. Well, now in verse 4, one from your own body shall be your heir. And in verse 5, count the stars, if you are able to count them. And the Lord said to him, "So shall your descendants be." In other words, you will not have only one heir, but you will father multitudes, Abram. God gives Abram an object lesson to prove his point. The stars. Really, what God is saying is this: Abram, if I can create all these many stars, then I can certainly give you a son. Trust me, I will do it. And this should remind us of something else from before. Back in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16, God spoke to Abram and said, "I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered." Genesis 13, verse 16. The point is, no human can count all the dust in the earth, and no person can count all the stars in the sky. They are just too numerous to number. Should Abram or should we doubt God on this point, we should try it. The next time you are dusting or vacuuming around the house, try and count the dust. I have said this before, but one of my sworn enemies is dust. I hate it, but it is everywhere. And every time I start dusting, I am sure it will never end. All those thousands of particles in the vacuum. Sigh. And whenever I have been outside at night, with a clear sky, especially at certain times of the year, depending on location, and I look up and see all the stars shining as bright lights against the darkness, I know that counting them is futile. It is easy to lose track quickly. I have tried it, and it cannot be done. Verse 5 says the Lord, in this vision, actually took Abram outside, had him look upwards to the heavens to count the stars, the point being an exercise to show how many descendants Abram will have. And, as you and I will talk about, this is a reference to physical descendants, yes, but also to spiritual descendants. Our father Abraham, spiritual father to people too numerous to count. Only God knows how many are Abraham's offspring. This will not amaze us, if we are honest. Notice how God has to repeat himself to Abram in order for Abram to get the message. We can relate to this. How many times has the Spirit of God had to say something to me before I believe it? And importantly, act on what I believe? How many times for you? Isn't it true that God repeats himself to us? In Genesis 13, Abraham's descendants will be too numerous to count. The dust analogy. And again in chapter 15, Abraham's descendants will be too numerous to count. The star analogy. This demonstrates God's patience towards us all. Join us tomorrow because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.